This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball.
This could be trouble. It's at the wall.
And it's a gunner!
He scores!
Now. Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome to hour number two of the show. I'm Mike Kelly, James O'Sullivan, handling the chores as our producer and board operator today. Coming up a little bit later, we'll talk about the Liberty Bowl with its executive director, Steve Earhart. Chris Raby and Mike Claiborne join us from Las Vegas, the site of baseball's winter meetings. We'll hear from Missouri football coach Barry Odom in our next segment. Coming up momentarily, we'll talk with John Kelly as the Blues play today. But in studio, what a rare treat to have Charlie Brennan with us in studio. People may not, I think, remember. They certainly will regret the fact that Robert Hyland hired the two of us weeks apart back in 1988.
Yeah, I was September 88. You were?
August of 1988.
Isn't that funny? 30 years. Wow.
Crazy.
And I remember when your daughters were little, the twins would come into the studio and they would turn off the mics while we were talking.
They did indeed. Wow. Crazy. My, how we have aged. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. We have a big event Thursday night in Kirkwood with Bernie Federko, the NHL Hall of Famer. Right. And thanks for letting me invite your listeners to join us. All they have to do is send me an email. That's cwbrennan@kmox.com, and I can send all the details. But we'll be at Kirkwood Station Brewing Thursday at about 7 o'clock.
Yeah, what an easy night that'll be with one of the best people I've ever met.
One of the nicest guys ever, absolutely.
Yeah.
Canadian, they're all nice, all those Canadians, right, when you think about it. But, you know, his mom started him off as a figure skater, and then he found hockey.
And then he found hockey, and the rest is history.
So right. I hope you can drop by, or anybody in your listening audience, Mike. Thanks a lot for letting me plug this event.
Again, details one more time.
Thursday night, the 13th, 7 o'clock, Hall of Famer Bernie Federko at Kirkwood Station Brewing. Just send me an email, folks, cwbrennan, B-R-E-N-N-A-N, at kmox.com.
Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thanks, Mike.
Great to see you. That is Charlie Brennan. John Kelly joins us on the phone. Blues in action coming up this afternoon at the corner of 14th and Clark. Hello, Mr. Kelly. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm wonderful. Thank you. How's your team doing coming off of a 1-0 win on the road?
Well, they played a very solid game as far as, you know, the things you have to do to win hockey games, Mike. The special teams were fantastic. They had their only goal on the power play, killed six Jets penalties. Their goaltending was superb, Jake Allen with a shutout. And I think they checked very well. And I think going back a few weeks now, you know, the Blues have faced some top players in this league. McKinnon of the Colorado Avalanche and, of course, McDavid in Edmonton the other night. And then the last game, Patrick Laine. And they held those three superstars to only one assist combined. So, you know, that's the key for the Blues. Obviously, for most teams, it's not really what you score, it's what you allow. And the Blues defensively played certainly much better than they did. You know, going back early on, they really struggled in that department, Mike, but of late they've been better.
Yeah, and they've been better in terms of puck handling too, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. And, you know, obviously the Blues, when they're at their best, Mike, they're a puck-controlled team. They're a forecheck team. They've added a big body in Jordan Nolan, so they have some more size. And, you know, I think, you know, I mentioned playing tough against the opponent's top players. And when you play physical against those players, normally they don't like that. Not many people like to be hit. So, you know, that's part of the Blues' DNA as well, is to be as physical as they can against not just the top players, but quite honestly, every player.
You know, I read this morning, and certainly I didn't realize it, that the shutout for Jake Allen on Friday was his first a year to the date from his last, since the last time he'd had a shutout. Yeah, it's kind of just ironic.
Yeah, I guess the Blues should play him every December 7th, right, Mike? That would work.
Pearl Harbor Day or Jake Allen Day?
Yeah, exactly. Now, he was great, and it's good to see Jake. You know, early on, I think that he sort of got a bad rap this year. He was allowing a lot of goals, but, man, the Blues were not defending well. And then he did struggle for a bit in early November, but I'll tell you what, in the last month or so, Jake has been playing very well. And unfortunately, in some of the games that he's played well, he's had no run support. And, you know, any goalie needs goals. Obviously, most games are won by, you know, one goal. It's usually a 3-2 or 4-3 victory. So you got to score some goals. And the Blues only got one the other night. It was enough to, in that game, but obviously in most nights you're going to have to score more than one.
Give me a preview of Vancouver. They won in Nashville 5-3, but they've won just two of their last 14.
Yeah, they had a very good start, Mike. And, you know, I'm not really sure what has been the issue of late. I do know that they have one of the young superstars in the making in Elias Patterson. He's a rookie. He was chosen in the first round a couple of years ago, fifth overall. And right now he leads all rookies in scoring with 25 points. And I've watched some of his, you know, highlights and some of the games on TV. Mike, this kid is really smart. He's got a great shot. He's got a great one-timer. And he's the guy that the Blues obviously have to really pay attention to. And also a young center by the name of Bo Horvat, who's now in his fifth year, is having a good year as well. He has 13 goals. So up the middle, the Canucks are young with Horvat and Pettersson, but I'll tell you what, they've got some really good young skill there.
John, thanks. I appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
John Kelly joining us here on Sports on a Sunday. Blues taking on Vancouver again coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon on the corner of 14th and Clark. Enterprise Center is the place where the game will be played. When we return, a conversation with Missouri football coach Barry Odom is up next on Sports on a Sunday.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
On KMOX, we will hear from Chris Raby from baseball's winter meetings, which begin tomorrow in Las Vegas. He'll join us in our next segment. We'll also talk about the Liberty Bowl with Steve Earhart, who is the executive director. Of course, Missouri will take on Oklahoma State coming up on December the 31st in the afternoon in Memphis. Joined now by Tigers head coach Barry Odom. Lots to cover with him this week on Sports on a Sunday. First, as always, though, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. Doing well. And, you know, it's the time of year that you're finishing up or adding to the recruiting class for the early signing, which is December 19th. We've got kids on campus, which is awesome and always an experience and part of coaching at the college level that I really enjoy, is being able to build relationships with kids and families and then getting them on campus and to be able to walk through the life of a student athlete at Mizzou and make the connection that you can see them really bought into what we're doing as a program. And then they get around our current team and, you know, their eyes light up because we've got a lot of really good guys that are returning, not only on the field, but just good kids. And so that's kind of hot and heavy right now. And then, you know, it's always good when you're busy with bowl practices. And, you know, we've had a couple so far and, our guys are focused and determined to find a way to go get win number 9 and, excited about the progress that we're making on the field.
How difficult is it this time of year with this early signing period, 10 days away? Obviously, the schedule becomes very, very compressed, not only for you, but for your assistant coaches. How tough is it to manage all this, and is it something this early signing date, do you think, eventually will be revisited and perhaps adjusted?
I think it'll be revisited, but once we've gone in, so to speak, I don't think there's any turning back now at this point. They may adjust the date a little bit, but I think it'll always exist. The balance of, you know, as soon as practice is over this afternoon for us, you know, the 10 assistant coach and myself will hit the road and be gone really all week on trying to finalize this class across the country. And then also, you know, there's preparation on continuing the game plan, which we've got done at this point, but you always, you know, you're always tweaking it as time goes on. And then our kids step into academically into finals week, and we'll have a couple of opportunities that they run and lift this week, and then we'll be back out on the practice field next Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we'll treat it like an in-season Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for us with practices, and then we'll have a day off and then kind of get back into the cycle of that. And then I'm going to get them out of town for a couple of days right before Christmas. I think it's important if the calendar will fit that way that they can go home, they can see their family, they can be around, get away from what they've done all semester, take just a couple of days to catch your breath, and then we'll meet in Memphis on the 26th and get ready to go play our best game.
Coach, I want to stick with recruiting for just a little bit because, you know, as you came in 3 years ago now and took over this program, you had to reestablish some relationships. You also had to build additional relationships outside of the footprint. So how have you, I guess from a regional standpoint, tried to approach recruiting, particularly in the toughest conference in America?
Well, you look at, number one, you're going to find guys that are attracted to Mizzou. You also want them to be a good enough student athlete that we can go compete at the level that we need to in this conference. And then it's got to be in a situation where you have time to build the relationship with not only the prospect, but the family, the high school coach, everybody that's involved with them. And that does take time. It's not ever going to happen overnight. But the more consistent that you are in all those areas, and then eventually you get those folks on campus and they can see the vision and the opportunity and what you've been talking about now and quote unquote selling in the recruiting process, they can see it with through their own lens and how this decision for them not only is good and the best one for the next 3 to 4 to 5 years, but also when football is over in the next 40 to 50 years, the mindset on how we foundationally have built what we're getting done. And, it's an attractive place. Once we get guys on campus, they understand how they fit. They understand the number of guys that we've got coming back on both sides of the ball. They see the benefit of graduating from Mizzou, and all those things together. We've got momentum in a lot of different areas, and recruiting is one of them.
How much does it help having Kelly Bryant now into the fold? Of course, earlier this week, the graduate transfer from Clemson, 17-2 as a starter, a guy who took that team to a couple of national championship games, announced that he is going to play his final season in Columbia as a Tiger. How much does that help with this class?
Well, I think it helps a great deal because there's, for a period of hours or maybe even a day, that was national news in college football. And, I don't know that any recruit that we've ever signed has gained, that much attention and well deserved, because he is a tremendous player and what a great young man, and he's excited to get here and get started with his team on the things that we need that spot to do at playing quarterback. So it was huge. Now that there's guys that are excited to, be in the same class as him, to be on the field, have that opportunity. And, there's also, opportunities with guys on that side of the ball, specifically the receiver spot, that, we've had some guys reach out that they want to come be part of it. So all that's good stuff. And, the power of one guy that can turn it into a movement is pretty exciting.
You knew about this before everybody else.
Well, I mean, it was still, we were in the house, Derek Dooley and I, on the 26th, which was a Monday, and he gave us his commitment then, so obviously very excited and thrilled about that. I also, cautioned myself, as Derek did as well, that there's a lot of things that can happen in the last few days of recruiting before, a final decision is made. So we knew we still needed to maintain the dialogue and make sure that everything was in position, that we actively still recruited. And the thing with Kelly was, and a lot of guys that are older and either junior college transfers or they've been through the recruiting process, they've seen, they've seen it all. He was very mature about the process on, deciding and looking at what it was real. And I appreciated the way that he went about it.
Barry Odom is with us, Missouri's football coach. His team will play in the Liberty Bowl coming up on December the 31st against Oklahoma State. The faith that Alexander Cartwright, Moon Choi, Jim Stirk have placed in you with a new contract means what to Barry Odom?
Well, I'm thankful for their leadership, number one. And I think that you look at the vision that they have, not only for the football program, but our athletic department and on a larger scale, our university. It's all aligned on what we all four want. And we know that we can do that working together. I think it helps for not only, you know, the guys that we've got on our roster right now, but potential recruits, prospects. They see that there is stability. They understand that the program that that we're moving in a great direction, and the things that we've done in the last year and a half. You know, we're not there yet, but we're making up ground really fast, and it's going to be an exciting bowl game, exciting off season, and then building the team, the new team into 19. There's going to be, you know, a lot of eyes on us, but we've got an opportunity to be in a position to be a really good football team.
Joe John Finley has left the program. He's taken a job, similar position, coaching tight ends at Texas A&M's. You made the decision to move Garrick McGee, who is a terrific, terrific individual, into that position, who had served as an offensive analyst. Do you have any concerns about any of your other coaches getting opportunities during this offseason?
The thing, and this time of year, it's, you know, it's busy on a lot of fronts, and one of them is the coaching changes throughout the country. And you know, when you are successful, and then you've got a staff that is really good at what they do, there's always going to be interest. You know, I fielded a number of calls in the last 48 hours about different places wanting to talk or visit with some of my staff. And the thing that we've developed here, which, you know, it's a family as close as you can get, but we've got open conversation and communication with myself and the staff. So I really, you know, they're, those things are going to take place, but yeah, I haven't been blindsided by any of it this year, which is nice. You know, and they know what we have here. Hopefully that the things that we've got going, which I think they do, understand that it's going to be hard to go somewhere and find the environment, to find the opportunity that they've got here.
Are people pursuing Derek Dooley, given the job that he did for you in the first season?
Yeah, I think he's got, you know, the experiences that he's had in, you know, the college world and the NFL. He knows a number of people. And then, you know, the things that he did this year for our offense, I mean, it's, you know, everybody notices. And so, you know, Derek is a guy that right now is really happy being the offensive coordinator. And I'm really happy that he's here because he makes our place better. But there's also, there's you know, people that are looking to go find guys that do things like Derek did this year. And so we'll do everything we can. I anticipate him being here and us working together for a long time.
Finally, make an appeal to your fan base. The bowl game coming up on December the 31st, Missouri has a history, whether it's warranted or not, of not selling its allotment of bowl tickets. What do you say to this group of fans in terms of making the trip to Memphis on New Year's Eve?
Well, they moved the AutoZone Liberty Bowl to the 31st for a reason. And, you know, the bowl game is stepping up in the allotment of selection of teams. They wanted Mizzou, and they made that very well known early on in the process. They chose us, and for us, for our seniors to go win game number 9, to send the team out the right way, the location geographically for our fans couldn't be in a better spot. And, you know, the Memphis city, me living there for 3.5 years, I know that the city opens their arms up for folks to come in and spend time there. And I know this year will be no different. You look at the allotment of tickets that each university gets. I think we have, I think it's set at 8,000, and you know, we'll have a lot more fans than that, and we should. But it serves so many purposes, especially you look at bowl selections in the upcoming years. They always look back at your fan attendance. Recruits have all eyes on the game. It's the only game on 2:45 on New Year's Eve. And so there's so many levels of reasons why. And at the end of the day, you know, the main reason is let's go support Mizzou, let's support Mizzou football,
and these 19 seniors that have done a heck of a job this year.
Hey, Barry, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
All right, Mike. Have a great week.
All right, you too. That is Tigers head coach Barry Odom. Chris Raby joins me from Las Vegas, the site of the baseball winter meetings, coming up next on News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Welcome back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
I'm Mike Kelly. This is Sports on a Sunday, heard every week here on News Radio 1120 KMOX. Well, coming up this week, beginning tomorrow, it's baseball's winter meetings in Las Vegas, as they are each and every year. Mike Claiborne and Chris Raby are in Las Vegas to cover the meetings for KMOX, brought to you by Goodwill. We say good morning to those two. How are you, gentlemen?
We're doing well, Mike. Chris and I are out here in Vegas waiting on everything to start. We were part of a Cardinal contingent yesterday to come out here, so we're just waiting on somebody to say ready, set, go, and off we will.
Lots to talk about with you two. First of all, let's just talk about the setup for fans that haven't had a chance to maybe hear coverage in the past. Chris, kind of take us through just kind of the setup for those that go out there to cover these events and then the communication that takes place, with Mo and others throughout the course of the week.
Yeah, Mike, it's really like a convention, and there are a lot of different parts that go into it. Today, really, Sunday afternoon, the first big moment will be the vote on if there will be anyone headed into the National Baseball Hall of Fame with the new rolling system they have as far as every 3 years. And the guys who are up, we've got our eyes on Lee Smith, of course. Then tomorrow morning, that will be one of the first press conferences. There are kind of sessions throughout the day, whether it be different minor league teams rolling out things that they're doing, different vendors like your Rawlings and Louisville Sluggers of the world. There are people looking for jobs. There's a job fair.
They have the grounds crew guys coming out with new grass seed.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, from every level of baseball you can imagine, somebody is here to represent that element. They don't miss anything. And as you said, Chris, who the guys who are looking for jobs, they have the khakis on with the blue sport jacket and somebody's borrowed tie.
Yeah, we had a couple guys from 101 that we were chatting with at the baggage carousel yesterday. They were kind of, wide-eyed and bushy-tailed getting ready to be out here. But, more than anything, Mike, it's a time for, obviously, the industry leaders to connect. The managers are here. They each have their own media availability over the next 3 days, both on the American League and the National League side. And then there's kind of some of the wheeling and dealing that is done now. And I know that, Claves, you can speak to this. It's not really the let's meet in the bar and let's hash out a deal on the back of a cocktail napkin, because there's so much social media. And, John Mozeliak, for instance, can't walk around anywhere without getting flagged down or chased down by a number of guys. So, they'll have meetings up in their suites and they'll connect with other organizations. And then kind of to answer your question, the second part, Mike, about the communication every day, at about 5 o'clock or so, we'll go up, with the rest of the Cardinals media that's here. Derek Gould, Jen Langosh, Ben Fredrickson, and we'll have a little informal, chat, some on the record, some off the record, just kind of a conversation with Mo and Gersh and Moises, and that's kind of how every day goes. And then that'll happen over the next 3 days. It'll all culminate on Thursday morning with the Rule 5 draft, and then everyone will get out of Dodge and start to get ready for the Christmas holiday.
Or the Phillies.
Those days of,
go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, those days of meeting under a palm tree and people not bothering you, those days are over. And, some executives don't even stay in the hotel that the event's taking place in, because it's just they're basically hunkered down in a room all day. They're having meetings with other agents and people of that nature. And it's not as much fun as it used to be, but it's very organized. I mean, there's not a lot of wasted time. And they send people down to hear what's going on, what the rumors are and things of that nature. But a lot of standing around and doing nothing until something pops.
Are the Phillies the team to watch this week?
Yeah, I think so. I think that their owner made the comment, they were willing to spend stupid money. They've got prospects. They've got certainly, I think, the eagerness to dive into this thing. I think the National League East is really intriguing. We just saw the Nationals spend big money on Patrick Corbin. What does that mean for Bryce Harper? Where are the Braves going to go next after they found Josh Donaldson, and they put together one of the most formidable lineups, I think, in all of baseball. The Mets going to move Noah Syndergaard. So, yeah, I think.
But we'll know where the Miami Marlins will be.
Yeah, they're hanging out.
Yeah, they're just going to be there.
They're hanging out. And anyone want anything?
We got
but,
it.
But, you know, I do think the Phillies and the East are really interesting. But, you know, I also think that as this moves along in terms of the two big names, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, we haven't really heard anything concrete in terms of them being connected to teams. Even last week with the Cardinals and the Goldschmidt trade, I know that was rumored, but, you know, the story breaks. 2 minutes later, each team has a press release out, so that tells you how close to the vest they kept it. So I'm wondering if that's going to be kind of a theme of the next couple of weeks and maybe even the next month, is that we don't hear a lot of buzz, because when you're dealing with this type of big money, everyone's going to try to keep things as low-key as possible.
I think the only name that we'll hear at this event is Bryce Harper signing, because he's in his own backyard and, you know, this is a Scott Boras production. I think that's the only name we'll hear. And then after that, the dominoes will start to fall.
But a Scott Boras production would suggest maybe it's late January when he signs.
Yeah, I don't think we'll go that route again, only because he's a local guy.
Yeah.
But I think that, and Mike, you and I talked about this earlier, look at how many guys have signed early. Look at how many free agents, especially those guys who were on the fringe, they didn't wait around. They took the first thing they saw. And I thought last year, with everybody holding back, it really – I think everybody learned a lesson. You know, you need spring training. And if you don't think so, ask Greg Holland. There's some other guys like that. So I think the biggest thing we'll see here is Bryce Harper doing his thing. And then after that, I think you may be right, Chris. We may see this thing linger just a bit and see where Machado goes. But I think – I don't know, like this year, Chris and Mike, if these two names really dictate the future of the rest of the game as far as signings are concerned, as far as money is concerned.
To me, the amazing thing is – yeah, go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say it's, you know, probably going to become more commonplace to see guys – getting called up at age 19, 20, 21, if they're ready, like Bryce Harper, like Manny Machado, like Ronald Acuna Jr., especially with, you know, Chris Bryant. He's been very outspoken. He wants to take a larger role in the players' union, and, you know, he's talked about the frustrations of not being called up. So that's one thing that I think over the next couple of years, especially with another CBA coming up and potentially a change of leadership within the players' union, that could be something to keep an eye on, and service time could start to drastically shift the way that free agency is valued.
To me, the interesting thing is, guys, is that, you know, you look at Machado, obviously there's baggage there, right? A lot of people would like to like to have him, but there's also some fan bases that wouldn't be too excited to have him on their team because of the way he's approached the game and some of the things he said. Harper, Michael, the analytics are starting to expose some things with Harper, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, he's a guy that he looks the part, but we're talking about spending money, $350 million on a guy who's never driven in 100 runs. A guy who had an MVP season, there's no question about it. But I think when you look at what he's done defensively and some other issues along the way, I'm not sure if the real baseball analytic people would endorse a move like this. I think fans get a kick out of it because, you know, when he hits it hard. I think some would say he doesn't hit it enough. So he's going to be a guy that some people will be in love with, and others will say, well, you know, for that kind of money, we might be able to find something else that's a little bit more useful.
Mike Trout's only driven in more than 100 runs once.
Yeah, I take Trout for this reason. Trout's a better player all around. He can steal the bases.
Yeah,
he can run. He can play defense. Harper, I think, is that next tier. So I'll take Trout without his RBIs, but you know what? I bet he scores more runs than Harper.
Will the Cardinals move Jose Martinez this week?
You know, I've been thinking a lot about this. I think it would make sense if you find a trade partner that has something you need, whether it's a left-handed bullpen piece or a utility man. But, guys, I'll ask both of you, despite the fact that he's a liability defensively, over the course of his Major League career and his professional baseball career, all he's done is hit 300 and put up a 370-380 on-base percentage, especially with Goldschmidt and Ozuna behind him. I'm not going to be so quick just to give him away.
I agree.
Like, unless I get something that makes me better, I'm going to hold on to him and figure it out. It's almost like the Cubs played Jason Hayward every day a couple of years ago. Apples and oranges with the contract. But what he did defensively made up for his lack of offense. What Jose Martinez can potentially do offensively, and then if he's in right field, or if Dexter Fowler's in right field, but with Harrison Bader next to him in center, I'm not going to be so quick to get rid of him just to get rid of him. Yeah. I think that we sometimes lose sight of how rare that is for a guy who comes in and just off the bus hits 300 with a 370 on base percentage.
You know, I think if you can find at bats for him, but man,
but you might not be able to find that bat
right
elsewhere.
And here's the other thing: who's a better pinch hitter? I mean, how he found a job with the Cardinals.
Especially against velocity, end of the game.
So I'm not apt to give him away just because. I think the key player this week, and Derek Gould wrote about it, I think Daniel Descalzo is the key. And here's why. First of all, he solves your problem as far as an infielder or utility infielder. Secondly, he's left-handed hitting. That's something that the Cardinals don't have, and they didn't have last year. Greg Garcia tried, but it just didn't work. Here's the other thing. This guy's been a proven winner. Everywhere he's ever been, whether when he started in the Cardinals minor league system to being a world champion with the Cardinals. And if you know Daniel Descalzo, he is about accountability. And that's something that we've heard Cardinal President John Mozeliak talk about having more of. And leadership is where I think Descalzo comes into play. There may not be a stat sheet for those sort of things, but I think that's a guy that it would really – be helpful to making this team more accountable. And if they're more accountable, then I think they have a better chance to win.
Hey guys, thanks for your time. We'll look forward to your reports coming up this week, brought to you by Goodwill.
Thanks, Mike.
You want me to drop anything for you while we're here?
No, that's okay.
You sure?
Yeah, I don't gamble.
And by the way, thanks to Goodwill for getting us out here and sponsoring us all week. Donate a car and receive 4 free field box tickets.
One last chance.
I can't afford it.
Oh, that's right. You have kids in college. I forgot.
No, they're out of college. Mike. I still can't afford it. See you, boys.
It's still in your pocket is what you're saying. I understand that one. I get that one, too.
Have fun. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, man.
Mike Claiborne and Chris Raby with us from baseball's winter meetings in Las Vegas. Steve Earhart's the executive director of the Liberty Bowl. We'll visit with him coming up next on KMOX.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln, and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
I'm Mike Kelly, having a little trouble connecting with Steve Earhart, who's the executive director of the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. I'll tell you that the Blues are in action coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Our coverage begins at 1:30 as the Blues will host Vancouver coming up at Enterprise Center. Blues coming off that 1-0 win in Winnipeg. Canucks, meanwhile, picked up a win 5-3 Thursday in Nashville, but they've won just 2 of their last 14. Our coverage begins at 1:30. Alex Ferrario will be here on KMOX. Steve Earhart is the executive director of the AutoZone Liberty Bowl and joins us this morning from Memphis. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. We've been working hard, getting ready to welcome everybody from the Tigers and coming down here to the AutoZone Liberty Bowl game.
So the Liberty Bowl was the group that was represented more than any other bowl throughout the course of the season at Missouri games this year. Why? What is it about Missouri that attracted yourself, Harold Grader, and others?
The reason is we would love to have the folks from Missouri, and when I say that, I mean the entire constituency of the university down here, and certainly the team played well, and it's an opportunity for the most fans to get down. It's a short 5.5-hour drive from the campus, but there's a lot of folks between Memphis and Missouri through the Boot Hill that can come here. But more importantly than that was exactly 40 years ago this year, 1978, was when the Missouri Tigers played in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl game. They returned again in 1980, and we have not had them in our game since then. We're the 7th oldest bowl game in America, and we've had, you know, many, many universities, just about everybody in the country play in our game. So it was time, and we talked about that a lot over the last 2 years. Quite frankly, there's a lot of recruiting opportunities for Missouri here in Memphis, too. We just had our high school all-star game yesterday, and everybody was talking about how Tyler Beatty played in that high school all-star game last year, and now he's certainly doing well for the Tigers up there this year. I think he was just named to the All-SEC freshman team, and then there's two other players from the Memphis area from our All-Star game that are on the roster. Jonathan Johnson, he's a little bit older than Tyler, and I know Coach Barry has had a lot of relationships here. When he was here in town on Thursday, he was visiting some of the high schools, so recruiting fertile not only for the football team but for students to come to the University of Missouri. So there's a ton of reasons why, and since we haven't had Missouri for such a long time, we focused in the last 2 years. We were hoping last year that it would work out. I know it didn't work out, and the Tigers went to the Houston Bowl, but this year we're very, very proud to host you all on December 31st.
Steve, what concerns do you have about the fan base, the fact that Missouri does have a reputation about not moving tickets, particularly when it comes to a bowl?
Well, we're aware of that, but I think this gives an opportunity for Missouri to really show up. I've heard that before from some of the other traditional SEC schools, like, you know, the Auburns and the Alabamas, saying, well, that they don't have the same passion in Missouri. But I don't believe that. I'm an old Big 8 guy myself, having coached at Colorado, and Missouri was a huge rival of ours. And this is a great opportunity for Missouri to really make a national statement. So it's close, it's easy to drive to, and the biggest thing is we have some great entertainment and fun for the fans to experience when they're down here. Beale Street is kind of like a shorter, cleaner Bourbon Street in New Orleans. There's all the great clubs from B.B. King's to Rum Boogie to Silky Sullivan's that open onto the street, and fans have more fun down there. Last year when your neighboring state, Iowa State, was down here, they had about 15,000 people. They closed down Beale Street. In fact, they ran out of beer there for the folks from Iowa State. So, and then we have an awful lot of other things for your constituents to do. We have a team welcome party at the Bass Pro Shops. Again, there's a Missouri hometown team, and they're one of our big sponsors. Johnny Morris himself said he wanted to make sure and host Missouri and the team welcome party in the largest Bass Pro Shop in the country. They retrofitted the pyramid, so we'll be hosting you down there. Then we've got the rodeo, we've got the gala, we've got the Four Tops playing at our presidential gala the night before the game, but an awful lot of fun activities and some educational opportunities too. The Civil Rights Museum is now one of the top places to visit. I know at Graceland is hosting Coach Barry and Mike Gundy from Oklahoma State on the Saturday, and even if fans want to go to an NBA game on Saturday night during the week, they play the Celtics, and we have a special price worked out if fans want to come watch an NBA game as well down here. So a lot of activities, so we're very hopeful that all your listeners out there will jump on board and come down here. It's a great time and date. The game is actually on Monday the 31st, so it's kind of sandwiched in for a long holiday weekend, and if you get down here and spend Saturday, Sunday, the parade and the bash on Beale is the night before the game on the 30th, and the game is that afternoon, and then, of course, the big New Year's Eve celebration after the game, and then you still got a holiday on January 1st to head home. So, yeah, I hope that word gets out to your folks that I think they'll have a great time.
Steve, tell us about ticket prices. Where do tickets begin price-wise, and how do people get a hold of them?
Yeah, and that's a great question. Now, certainly folks can get tickets. We've shipped off a lot of good sideline seats to the University of Missouri. So if you're a donor or alumni, or you want to buy them through the university, I know just contact the University of Missouri ticket office. On the other hand, if you would want to come directly to our office, you can get a hold of us, and our phone number is 901-795-7700, or go to AutoZoneLibertyBowl.org or LibertyBowl.org. And, of course, I know a lot of fans are used to going through Ticketmaster. We have good seats on Ticketmaster as well. But I think it's important not only to us, but I think to the university that they have a good showing, and this is a great opportunity. And even if fans want to jump in the car and drive in that morning, if you can't make it to stay overnight, the group that came down, when Coach came down and some of the other the folks that were doing all
drove
the planning
down, yeah.
At the university, they actually drove down they left Thursday or Wednesday morning, whatever day it was in the week. I'm losing track of time, but they jumped in the car in Columbia, and they were here in 5.5 hours, had a meeting, and then some of them even actually drove back that night. So it's not a bad drive. So the game doesn't kick off till 2:45 Central Time on the 31st, so somebody jump in the car at, you know, especially if they're here between here and Columbia, but even all the way to Columbia, jump in the car that morning and be here in time for the game. We do
make it back before midnight. Hey, Steve, thank you. I appreciate it. Our time is done. Thank you. Steve Earhart is the executive director of the Liberty Bowl. Thanks for listening to Sports on a Sunday on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.